Blog Talk Radio.
The cards are in line. Shall break every chain. The conquering lion shall break every chain. Give him the victory. Again and again, again and again. Give him the victory. Oh, the conquering lion shall break every chain. The conquering lion.
Much, Brother DeWater. Shoot, we all ready to rock.
Yeah, I decided to get away from asking the questions of a preacher because I got to do a lecture on music, but the last lecture I did on music is up. When we look at music, we have to look at, I found a book, Brother Drew, that were Big Mamas. It's a 1909 book. That she had in her 10th grade. See, they didn't go no further than the 10th grade when Big Mama graduated from high school in 1909. And they taught different subjects. Mama got Big Mama's report card. And on there, it's a funny thing. They taught them Latin. She was taught rhetoric. And I just so happened. See, Mama taught us rhetoric. So I didn't know what the hell Mama was teaching us back in that time, Drew. And they took it out of the school system in 1960, Mama said. they took the teaching of rhetoric in. It was in all the black school system. They taught rhetorics. Now, Brother Jules, when we go look up this word rhetoric, I got in Big Mama's book. I didn't understand a damn thing. I had to call Mama. I said, Mama, to give me a guideline on how to even read this damn book, because rhetorics, I always thought we were dealing with speech, but it's rhetoric is a science, man, that is so deep. And now I understand, Brother Drew, why they took it out of the black school system, because you could see people that had studied this course called rhetoric, you saw them coming up. People like Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Malachi York. See, the definition of rhetoric is a art. Now, you listen to this real close to the definition of persuasion through reading, writing, music, poetry. That's literature. That's what rhetoric is. And in this book that Big Mama teaches, it's a book that starts you off on ground level of how to teach rhetorics, which deal with six different sciences. And the highest one is you had to know anatomy, how the body works. Now, with what I've studied for the last 2 days in reading this book, I've sped read it twice. I haven't just sit down and read it, because a lot of the stuff I already know. But it was a lot that I didn't know that deals with this one word called rhetoric. It's the art of persuasion, Brother Drew. This is, I'll give you an example. Hitler, he was awesome with rhetoric. I give you another one, Howard Cosell, Brinkley. All of these boys, they had rhetoric, the art to persuade people in believing what you say is the truth. Now, that's amazing. I mean, because, see, when we start dealing with rhetoric, it's four different kinds of rhetoric, so we can go back and see which one that's most persuasive in 2017 by studying this stuff and looking back in history. The most effective of that rhetoric is music, Brother Drew. And then, why is it music? It's because the first three laws of nature deals with physics and geometry. And the second law of nature deals with the laws of opposites, which makes everything in creation a dualist system. We up on a polar dualist system that for anything to reproduce itself, it has to have male and female. It has to have opposites. So this creates the second law of opposite. The third law is a law of balance, which they have to be balanced, meaning the only way that you can be balanced is it has to be opposite of you, to be balanced. So with that saying, you should know that everything in creation has a natural enemy, and nature is going to balance itself out. So as long as you see a white person, you got an enemy. No, I don't care how friendly he is to you or what to you. That's you can't break the laws of nature. His nature is that. He might can tame him down and train him and like you do a dog or something, but that would be in existence. when we look at music, see, you'll find that music is the number one thing in a nation of people creates its culture, its literature. You see, the culture ain't nothing but your literature, which is known as literature. See, some words, we got a lot of words in this language that we have to clear up, Brother Drew, because most people don't know the definition of it. And we're speaking the language of the subhuman, trying to explain what is human. So we have to rearrange things for it to make the word logical only means common sense and something that they really never looked at, Brother Drew, is this word creation. Creation, when we look at creation right now in 2017 for the study, we see nothing is created. Ain't nothing created, Brother Drew. The earth is traveling 1,050 miles an hour as a mixing bowl on the first law of nature, inorganic and organic matter. When a cell and a bee goes through its process, it'll come into existence as inorganic or organic, meaning it'll be living or be dead. But eventually, after so many billions of years, you will have what is the proper term of creation, is everything is transformated. Because by using the word created, which is popular in this language, the ancient didn't call it created, it called it transformation. What is called creation is the transformation of invisible substance to visible forms. When water becomes a vapor, Brother Drew, and returned to the invisible state, that is a transformation process, not a creative one. And that's the order that everything in the universe works up under. It's transformation. God damn it, look at me and you. Do we look like what we looked 72 years ago? Hell no, you done transformed through evolving, breathing, drinking, and eating a created process in which cosmetic elements become part of the body. All these processes keep the body going after it is born through transformation. Birth is a creative of transformation process. Until your ass die. You understand what I'm talking about, Brother Drew?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I'm following that pretty good.
See, so certain words that we say that takes us out. See, we got to understand that we talk in the language of the subhuman. When we talk in the language of the subhuman, that means everything is backwards from human. His whole belief system is opposite. It's backwards. The way he read and write is backwards, from left to right. No, we on the cipher. The nine is on the left side, not on the right side. He tell you that his number is the six, subhuman. So your mind had to realize what was the teaching of the subhuman, and I put it like this. You got to go. This is for the Christians. You got to go back to Genesis, bug naked, innocent, and before the Creator, and you have to undress your ass of this European Gentile wisdom that your ass is got your mind conquered of a people that is a Hamitic race of people from over across the waters with this God shit that they brought over here. Until you can do that, your mind has to be undressed in your mind. You had to understand that. And we're seeing people, minds, we're seeing minds come into existence, Brother Drew, because me and you have been doing this a long time, talking about Yah for a long time. We see people coming into existence right now, being born, and especially in the XY millennium generation of people. They already know this stuff. You don't have to. You don't really have to explain a whole lot of shit to them. They see what you're talking about through conversation, and they don't believe in no gods. You can't pull no assalamu alaikum, shalom, Holy Ghost on them. You ain't gonna pull it on these people. They got too many goddamn questions. See, this is the age, Brother Drew, of knowing, not believing. See, we just entered the age of information. So the age of information took away the believer. See, believe means to believe a lie that somebody done told us. So all beliefs, and only a belief in system comes 4,000 years ago with religion. So we have the whole history of that. And when we study the history of the subhuman, Brother Drew, there are two words in this language that describe him to the maximum degree of maxtivity. And if your mind can see this, you'll be a very wise virgin. Because everything that the subhuman being called knowledge is in a revised version. Ain't a damn thing on earth that we learn in the Gentile school over here ain't a revised version of a lie. See, so when anything becomes revised version, that means it's number two. It's took out of the original version. And it's revised. How is it revised? It's revised for the people that believe in Druidism. And what version is put into Christianity? As we speak, Islam, Judaism, which just started Hinduism and come straight down in a row. Anything that's religion, because you don't recognize Hinduism in Judaism, Christianity, or Islam, not unless you study Hinduism. And when you study Hinduism, you'll see all of that, because all religions, Brother Drew, that's on the earth as we speak, they're either moon god worshipers or sun god worshipers. You ain't got a goddamn religion that ain't one of them people. Because we got a history on their asses. So when somebody come up to you hollering that religion shit, and they tell you who they are, you know what they worshiping, the sun or the moon. And that's ancient Druidism. That is opposite from your ass, your mind done been made a transformation into some invisible shit, goddamn, that became visible through a revised fucking version. And how many revised versions of what you believe in has passed? What number is the American school system, because all knowledge is systematic now to the people. It comes the systematic thing. And so what system is you in right now? So we know what system we're in. We're in the Sophite system. Who are the Sophites? Those are the Greeks. That's a Greek system. But what the fuck is a Greek, Brother Drew? That's the next thing we have to ask ourselves. A Greek is the child of a Yehuda and the people of hell. And goddamn hell is still goddamn here. You just don't hear nothing about this country now called hell. And Hellport is the same capital it was back in the ancient time of this ancient city called hell. And the god was hell. And they whole system was called Hellenized system. Well, what the fuck is this system called in today's society that we're living in now? Religious system, the Hellenized system. There's nobody talk about that in history when they talk in the culture of it. Because, see, a Greek child of a Yehuda, which you call, he wasn't called a Jew at that time. He was called a I-E-W-E-S. Had a baby by this druid up here. From the, out of this Hellenism community, these goddamn wild men of Caucasus Mountain, and the Greeks named them, and they became Greeks. That's how that name. And Alexander told you that the Greek Jews, Ius, were the smartest people in the world, and they, and for 2,000 years, that their culture and their belief would last. Well, what the hell are we looking at right now? 2017 years. We can say for a fact, Alexander didn't tell a goddamn lie. And that's recorded in history, Alexander said that. He said that their belief would last for 2,000 years. They would control the world. Up under the sign and the logos and the colors of red, white, and blue, the sign of the eagle under the Thunderbird cup. Well, what the fuck is you got now? You got that right now. England, Great Britain, America, Russia, all your goddamn Germanic race of people, every last one of them. Same color, same flag, same goddamn eagle, same staff, same fucking belief. And you up under this system called Greco-Roman system of teaching and thinking. A mind is a school of thoughts, Brother Drew. And you talk this shit in their school system. They say if you go from 6 years old to 18 years old, we give you a diploma in the shit. That means that you can work out in the system and become a good slave. And then all our mamas and daddy taught us that for us to be good slaves, go to college, baby. Get your degree so you can get you a good job for Mr. Charlie. That's what my mama told me, and every goddamn nigga's family was telling them that. Still is telling them that. Say, go get you a degree. So you go get a degree, and you bring your ass out in the black community, magna cum laude, summa cum laude, and cum laude, and work for the white establishment all the way from 1964 to now. You never thought about creating a business because you wasn't taught that by your mom and daddy. Your mom and daddy say go get a degree so you work for white people. Not to be dependent on your own. And then you raise your children like that. And now you got the XY millennial generation of children now that's so goddamn prim and proper in white ways, it doesn't even make sense. last night, I went to the GOAT, Brother Drew.
Uh-huh.
I did I sung at the GOAT the other night, and I sit at a table where a black sissy and a Chinese sissy was sitting. This Chinese sissy spoke perfect English with no accent. And I asked him, I say, "Why? How did you learn perfect English like that without an accent?" He said, "I was born over here and I'm third generation over here." He was a white boy, Chinese and gay,
yeah,
with a black gay. And they, you could tell they was bodybuilders, weightlifters.
Uh-huh.
And I heard them talking at the table. They opened their mouth, they sound like little girls.
Yeah.
And I say, now, this is how they have assimilated you into them through rhetorics, Brother Drew, through rhetorics. They are rhetorics. See, the word rhetorics come from Greek. All the Greek school of thoughts had rhetoric. This language is based upon rhetoric. It's a trick language. That's the reason it was called a forbidden language. This language here is deceiving. Very deceitful, because you don't know the meaning of words like T-O-T-W-O-T-O-O. I can give you some, like the word L-O-V-E. L-O-V-E has got four meanings to it. And they in order. Number one, agape. Number two, eros. Three, phalo. And then four, stogate. The highest supposed to be. They in order. But you out of order when you say love is based upon all four of them definitions. Man and man, woman and woman. Eros is man and woman. Agape is God, this God shit. It's just like the first lie they told you, taught you ABCs. That's a lie. You taught your alphabets. The reason you taught your alphabets, it couldn't be no big G and little G in your ABCs. Couldn't be no big God and little God if you know your ABCs, because it ain't no capitals in your ABCs. It ain't between two signs and symbols. So you see your language that you speak, the signs and symbols, is out of whack from the human being. This teaching is subhuman versus human being. And when we look at what creates and how the effect on the minds of the people and their lifestyle, we have to look in music. See, music is the key to identifying a nation of people at a certain era, age, century of time. Because when we finna trace ancient music and see what it was at first for the human beings, and then we're going to see how it got to be put in a revised version, Brother Drew, because when we go back to all the human beings and study the history of all four hemispheres, we find in the northern hemisphere no knowledge. How we know that? We Scottish Rite Masons. In the north, don't no warden sit in the north, because there wasn't no damn knowledge in the north. So when we go through the southern hemisphere and the eastern hemisphere and the western hemisphere, we separated. But the same thing was over here. We used to be everywhere until the people in the northern hemisphere went through a transformation. and got recreated to a subhuman and lost human being. The ancient used the drums when they was boogie-woogie, the law of nature, when they was dancing fast and doing it, each warrior had their own dance and you doing your thing, which is called creative dancing. You just got out there and did your thing, your men and women, off of drum music. When you wanted to mellow out and be romantic and soothe your mind from your dancing, you played the flute. That's all three over here, Brother Drew. We played wooden flutes that we made. I know how to make them. Grandpa taught me how to make them. I ain't forgot that, how to do that. Same way I ain't forgot how Grandpa taught me how to make a nigger killer either. That's a silent killer. I ain't forgot that either. This was called spiritual music, Brother Drew. And when we trace the history of some people coming over here, we can see when they was on the plantation that they played what? The drums and the flutes for communications. We use the drums for many things, shit. Here's what I know for a fact. The Carthaginians visit the Pella people, which in a place where you call Seattle, Washington. Now, that's Olmec, the Pella people. Up there where the Olmec live, the Shell people, they call them, because they live on that ocean up there. And the Carthaginians told them, because it's in our Wampum Belt, and the Wampum Belt is in the Library of Goddamn Congress. I can read them fucking signs on that. It's in our Wampum Belt that the Carthaginians told the Pella people that anything come across that water that was pale, white, didn't look like them, to kill it, because they was killing out everybody with their diseases over there across the waters. By drum and smoke signal, it went all over this goddamn land, because everybody knew that if a white something from the north come, a heathen come from the north that was white, pale face, to kill it. That's in our Wampum Belt. The Aztec knew this. Montezuma knew this when he didn't kill him. The Wampum Pen, which is where Chicago and Massachusetts, they knew this, but they didn't kill him. And he went back, goddamn it, crossed the water. And then he came back over here as a goddamn Spaniard in the 12th century and a goddamn Mason. And that's how he got over here. So our music, Brother Drew, was spiritual music. And then when we go back into, I got Booker T. Washington's book that he wrote in 1869, when he wrote The Problems of the Nigger, Brother Drew, that he could see that the niggers had a problem because they didn't want to be sharecroppers. They wanted to move to the city and be city slick. And what was causing this was a piano, he called it. That's what they was calling it. We call them pianos, but they was calling them pianos. And he said, and I know this for a fact, because goddammit, I can go back to my childhood, and I know this for a fact in Crockett. I don't know this for a fact nowhere else, but I know this for a fact in Crockett, Texas, that as poor as we were, every house had a piano in it. It was very few houses in Crockett that you could go to that a piano went in now and somebody could play that. And ain't nobody took no goddamn music, Booker T said. He said, well, just something about the little, that the black man, he could sit down, or the black woman, at a piano and start playing it. Just out the clear goddamn blue, with no lessons, no nothing. He just started playing it. He could play it by ear. He'd sit there and tinker with the keys, and all of a sudden he'd playing a song. And he said that's all that them niggas wanted to do in that time period was be jigaboos and play ragtime music. So we see that spiritual music got into a revised version with a piano, and it became ragtime. Then, after ragtime, came what? Dixieland. This ragtime become Dixieland, and then it became jitterbug, but they did the jitterbug. Jitterbug music turned into blues and jazz, and in 1950, you still had your spiritual music because you were still doing Negro spirituals. They call them Negro spirituals and hymns in your church, and playing them 1-4-5 and not with a flatted 7. You weren't playing it with a flatted 7 in 1950 until Godspell, who you call gospel music, came on the scene. It came on the scene with Tommy Dorsey, Inez Andrews, and this other Albertina Walker. When Tommy Dorsey put a flatted 7, which is a blues 7, that means they playing it with 4 notes and not with 3 notes, triads. They playing it with a 7 note to put that flavor in spiritual music that was finna become gospel music. The spiritual music finna get a swing to it. So it would be same as jitterbug, blues, jazz, ragtime, all mixed together, Dixieland, in this spiritual music. And then here come Ray Charles. And when Ray Charles took a church song, made a blues song out of it, Big Mama and them called him a hypocrite. But this is when God spelled the birth of gospel music. Then we see that blues and jazz came rock and roll. And why did it become rock and roll? It became rock and roll because we can see that what was hillbilly music and bluegrass music, well, the white boy had got into ragtime blues and jazz music, and the music became rock and roll. And along with rock and roll music came soul music, because the niggas had to split away from rock and roll because the white boys were doing it, Brother True. Rock and roll was considered white boy and nigga music mixed together, and we didn't do the white boy and nigga music mixed together. We came up with soul music then. The music became soul music. So we didn't do no Little Richard shit and Chuck Berry shit. They couldn't come in no black club with that shit. They played on the white circuit. See, rock and roll was white. You still had the blues and the jazz scene on the black, and then Coltrane and Birdman came in with abstract jazz. That's when all the musicians started getting their head bad and going off into left field. You had Miles Davis come along and all these people who would play for themselves. They didn't play for the people. They played for themselves. And only you, a musician, could understand what they playing. I mean, most people, that's why most people don't like what it's called straight ahead jazz. Go hell, what it sound like. I mean, you like straight ahead, Brother Drew?
I kind of like all jazz, but yeah, I listen to it all.
Well, I mean, I notice most people, because I play a lot of straight ahead. They come to my bullet. If it ain't bullet coming to play chess, anybody else come, they don't. What kind of music you got on that shit? So I like straight ahead because straight ahead ain't nothing but the image of your mind, you know. So we see this conflict. And then here come 1960, Brother Drew. In 1960, this gospel music, you can see where it attracted the sissies. And especially the sisters that was in Chicago and New York, where James Cleveland lived. All the sisters up there in that area, Detroit, the O'Neill twins, Donna Bell, Charles Fole, all of these sisters was together switching all over the stage and playing Godspell music. And then here comes some bisexuals along, Walter Hawkins, Kirk Franklin. And see, Walter Hawkins did a number on this gospel music. He wrote it on B-flat concert scale, the song, I'm Going Up Yonder. Everybody was singing the song, Going Up Yonder. He wrote that on concert B-flat scale and put another twist to this gospel music. Along in 1964, James Cleveland and the sisters, they had a musical instrument called a Fender Rhodes. Whirligan put out the first electric piano, and Ray Charles made that famous. He was the first one that tried the electric piano and made it famous, a Whirligan. That's the one that Keela and Courtney, I had a Whirligan when I came up here, Brother Drew, but I had some grandbabies get born. They all play the keyboard. Keela is a senior. She's in the 1 o'clock stage band in North Texas State. She's going to North Texas. She up there. They tore my piano up, but it was worth it. Because Courtney, he's doing his thing in the studio with music. And Day-Day become a, he's singing lead in with Walt Disney. So tearing my piano didn't matter with me. They learned off of that Whirligan. But this Fender Rhodes piano, Brother Drew, this Fender Rhodes piano had a unique sound that if you put it with a Hammond B3 organ with two Leslie tone cabinets, you got soul music out of it. So that's where Jimmy Smith was kicking on that. See, Smith was kicking on that. And them sisters got a hold to kicking gospel music with this B3 organ, James Cleveland them, and this Fender Rhodes keyboard. And one of them sisters come up with the idea that if we take and retune this, so you could, in the back of a Fender Rhodes and the Whirlinger, you could tune it on whatever you wanted to tune it on. All music was tuned on middle C. That's a low frequency. That's where it's supposed to be. That's normal. Abnormal is when you tune your instrument on 440. That means you tune it on G. That's when ever you could see. Now, this comes up with rhetoric. That's what I was telling you. You had to know you have to know anatomy. Anatomy, the first subject you have to know is how your body is. Because if you don't know anatomy, you don't understand that vibration and what emotions and how this music works. Because, see, when you hit 440, you hear G, G. If you go to any church, you hear that organ player when the preacher get up here. Bum, 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 na, na, G. Na, 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 bum, na, na, bum, na, na. Well, that gives you an emotional. See, on 440, that's your heartbeat. It sped up everything to the point where you can see, Brother Drew, that you don't even understand what your child is talking to you in today's society simply because of this 440 vibration in the cosmos that all the XY millennium children, they on 440 plus. Some of them on 440 plus. That's when you got so many of the toddlers with mind control and drugs and on really so many people crazy from 1964 to now. It's because of this vibration. You're on 440 vibration. You look at the speed. Everybody you see going down the road running 100 goddamn miles an hour going where? And especially if you're in a crown goddamn truck because you're up under a guard spell. He's up under guard spell. Everybody's up under this guard spell shit. As we speak, you can see how this 440 that these sisters did and redirected all America through the music, and then here come this other goddamn music in 1970 called hip hop. Goddamn everybody that's XY and millennial generation of people, it fucked them up. Point blank to what we see right now. Through this music. How did they control your mind? Let's look and see what the white boy did. 1970, Brother Drew, what'd he come out with? A jam box, right?
Yep.
Huh? You remember? Great big old son of a bitch. I told Andre if I caught his ass on the bus stop with a jam box with a plug in his ear, I'm going to smash that son of a bitch right there. He had one. I think Kirk still got one, my baby brother. You had one earplug, Brother Drew. Anytime that you get a direct shot of hip-hop music or any music to your brain at that close range, your mind, your brain, your analyst is completely, you put your brain into a shock. It goes into a shock where you can't hear nothing but that goddamn music. You'll walk into a freight train. Because then they came out and put two of these goddamn earplugs in your goddamn ears. One was bad enough, but you can see where the Y in the millennium and the G generation, that's after 1980, they started putting two goddamn plugs in your ear. And everybody got two plugs in their ear right now, ain't that, Brother Drew? Well, your mind is shut down. Your whole fucking function, brain, your reaction, everything is shut down from listening to music. Loud as going directly into your mind. That'd be going directly into your mind, Brother Drew. It doesn't make sense. And so you can see, let's look at how we're going to take 1970. Let's look at 1970 and what happened over here in America. 1970, starting in California and Florida, you had the gay movement. The sisters was on the march and on the movement. They wanted to be ministers, and they gave them an Academy Award, and you know how white folks put towels on you. They told James Cleveland he was the first black to receive an Academy Award for gospel music, and that he was minister of music. He was a minister of music, and God, they wouldn't let it. is that sisters in the church be preachers. They came in disguise. Now I got plenty of them in the church now, but during that period of time, they didn't let the sisters in the church, only playing piano and stuff. And that's how the sisters got in the church. But let's look at the music of the ancestors. Also carried along with it a dance, and each person had their own dance with drums. A warrior had his dance, the female had their dance, and it's sort of like what they had on Soul Train. Everybody got to do their own thing. They start dancing. That's how our ancestors did it. All three hemispheres. Although we were separated from y'all, we did it over here. These are the things that we had in common at one time. And when we did have these dances, so we had different, it was for different times of the year, different feast days, different holidays, different weddings, ceremonies, thanking for good harvest. We had praise, what they call praise dancing. Now we had these dances. We call them praises, and we said that we was expressing to Hayah over here, and we danced Hayah, 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 and we got around and danced our ass off, our ancestors, to Hayah. We gave praises and thanks to the season. Even when Grandpa, if used to piss me off, Brother Drew.
Uh-huh.
Every animal that Grandpa killed, he would say, "Thank you, Hayah, for the meat that you put on my table." He only killed what he needed. He think, I used to look at Grandpa, "Why are you thinking? Who are you thanking?" He said, "You have to be thankful for the harvest. During the season of harvest, planting, the rain, the birth, magic, marriage, war, hunting. We danced. We had that. That was an expression of soul expression that you gave out to the Creator through your dance. The Creator, you recognized you through your dance. You had a special dance that you did for him. We did this in the form of music to drums. To drums. See, music identifies the race and the nationality and the community. Music has a high note effect on the brain also, and it can take completely control of the mind. Music can determine the mood of a person or people. Music is just like a thought wave that can call you to thinking right or wrong, just like music sounds can break glasses, Brother Dude. The loud music can shatter your goddamn mind when you got them two damn things in your ear. Your mind is shattered, just like this because it's that high sounding note. And when you got, let's look at hip-hop music from 1970, because in 1970, Linda Lovelace came in with pornography, and it became okay. We see it's all right now. You had the sissy movement, and we see it's all right now. But it wasn't all right back then, 1970. It wasn't all right back that way. It's all right now. Hip-hop music promoted homosexuality and sex. The performer used explicit words of sex, drug, violence, killing. Popular music, people that love popular music, what they do? They give you your dress, your lifestyle, and your language. You know, the word diva becomes diva. Oh, hell, what the fuck? A diva is an opera singer, not nobody that's walking around looking like sweeter people. See, these tiles that they put, let's look at some of the tiles of the song that came during that time and see where they promoted, Brother Drew. Cause I sung these songs, The Butt, Sperm, Freak, Who's Making Love to Your Old Lady, What Love Got to Do with It, Living Together, I Was Checking Out While She Was Checking In, songs I used to love to sing, Cheat in the Next Room, In Between the Sheets, Doing the Freak, Brother Drew. See, the musician was originally a priesthood unto his people, and he sung songs of Zion, soul music, spiritual, and lamentation. In the Bible, it'll tell you that Bob Marley sung about it. He sung about it. But you can see just through what I'm talking about right now, how the music from our era to this era, how it changed and how it changed the minds of the people. Blues and jazz didn't change our mind to make us cuss our elders and do the shit that these that hip-hop music does to the minds of the people. It didn't do that to our minds, not blues and jazz. Now, I find it very simply amazing because the best music that is classified for you, if you study your anatomy, would white folks call it classic music. The classical music. That's Bach, Beethoven, Tchaikovsky, Mona Lisa, and the boys. And tell me you can't find, if I put up 1,000 niggas, you find me one or two in there that like that form of music, which that's the best music for you, for your mind. But how many of people that look like us listen to that type of music? You come in my house, you're going to hear two things. You're going to either hear that, Brother Drew, or straight ahead jazz. Because that's the music I, Mama raised us with. Mama taught opera music, and she taught the opera, sung opera, played opera. So all I heard was Bach, Beethoven, Moonlight Sonata, Symphony in the C Minor Sharp, octets, quintets. This music here soothes the mind, Brother Drew. So we can see that music is vibration. See, five laws, after the third law, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, the eighth law deals with music and the laws of nature. Everything is music. See, everything in creation is first geometry. And when you get here, it becomes physics. And then some folks call it metaphysical. When I always put that, how in the hell did metal become physical? It started off as metal, and then it became metaphysics. How did that happen? That's a revised version of meta. See, meta was here first, M-A-T-T-A. That's in another language. In another school of thoughts, but meta is the original in that school of thoughts. See, but when meta became metaphysical, shit, white boy done got a hold of that shit. And he got real physical with your ass since it became metaphysical, to the point where he got so physical with your ass that he conquered your ass over there and then came across the water and conquered us, because he said metal was physical. When he learned metal, he became physical with it. In other words, he came in there as the Hyksos came to a Cushite, Hamite nation of people. And then all of a sudden, he came in the land of Cush But look who people he with. He went to mesmerized people. He didn't go to Cush people. He didn't go to Ham's people. He went to Mesmerine's people. He went to Ham's third son now, called Egypt and Mesmerine, the same people. And he conquered them, and then he had a baby by them, and they became Egyptians. That's the first mulattoes over there in that country. See, here's what I always say, the greatest MF is the white boy. You had to know who he had got the poontang, the booty from, and created a child. Shema Yahweh, Yahweh, Yah, Ika, Kamadiyah. Until next week, Brother Drew.
All right, Kamadiyah.